That's why sometimes you can have a relationship with a person who does something that offended you and you're upset toward them. Then later when you resolve that relationship, you find out that you misread their intention. As they share with you what they were really intending to do, it clarified the whole situation, right? You've had that, haven't you? And I have as well.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Today is the conclusion of his series, Making Better Decisions. Now to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And I do welcome you to the Intentional Living Center today. And we are wrapping up this 5-day series on making better decisions. I'll take you over to the teaching studio in just a moment. Love to hear your reaction to this series on making decisions. Maybe you've made a decision during this week or over the last 5 days. It's as a result of listening and praying and planning. I'd love to hear what it is so we can pray with you. Call our storyline, our comment line, 888-888-1717. And when you do, press number 2, so you can leave that story with us. We want to share it and pray for you, okay? We're going to get over to the teaching studio in just a moment and wrap this up as we continue talking about the five primary decisions about faith, about family and relationships, about money and your work. A lot to touch on, but we're going to wrap this up today. And by the way, members, you've received this or will in the mail, the entire teaching on CD. This is a part of our membership benefit. Members who are standing with us every month allow us to do this ministry, and we thank you for standing with us. If you're not a member, boy, why not? Come and join us. We want you to be a part of this. Your monthly support helps the mission, and we want to help you in your journey. And we have a couple of very special best-selling books from Intentional Living, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection, a marriage and on personal development, and one on marriage, and then this series on CD to say thanks as well. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. All right, let's move on over to the teaching studio and continue this series on making better decisions. In the book of Hebrews, this is, we've read this verse too. It's a very powerful verse, but I want you to think of it in terms of intention for a moment. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, talking about the Word of God, says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is," listen, "and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." And so, if you want to know what your intentions are, line them up against what Scripture teaches. That really lays it out pretty clearly. When you're doing something, if you allow the Word of God to be the discerner, to say, hey, am I lining up? Are my intentions in alignment with what the Scripture teaches? So I think the first thing we have to do is decide on what is my intention? Deep level intention. What is it that I think about? I ponder. What is really going on at this personal, deep level that you'll never see? We very seldom see another person's intention. We may extrapolate from what we see them do what their intentions are. We may make assumptions about what their intentions are. But we never really totally know what their intentions are. That's why sometimes you can have a relationship with a person who does something that offended you, and you're upset toward them. Then later, when you resolve that relationship, you find out that you misread their intention. As they share with you what they were really intending to do, it clarified the whole situation, right? You've had that, haven't you? And I have as well. And so, understanding our intention about God and God's role in our life. I think a second decision, primary decision, get these five decisions right in your life and the rest of them will be easier. What is my intention about the purpose of family and relationships? Now, what is my intention or God's intention through me for my family? Now, the reason this is so critical is this. If I believe that God's intention is for me as a dad and a grandfather to love my family, to be faithful to my family, to lead them, instruct them, encourage them, leave a legacy for them, spiritually and otherwise, then when I have to make a decision of how I spend my time or my money, when I have to make a decision about how I decide about the words that are going to come out of my mouth or what other priorities, I've already got the guardrails in place, see? I've already said my intention toward family and relationships is this. This is what the Scripture teaches, right? This is what the Bible teaches. These are the guardrails. So the decision becomes pretty easy. So when I have a choice to make in a family relationship, let's say with my children, to either encourage them or discourage them, all right? I might be in a mood or my personality to say, I want, you know, just frustrated, I want to discourage them. If I know the bigger goal here, the bigger intention is to lift them up, then the decision's pretty easy. Lift them up. See? And those become the guardrails. So I'd encourage you in your own life to make that primary intentional decision. What is your intention toward your family? What is your intention toward your relationships? I think a third one is, what is your intention about money? That's a big one, isn't it? Don and I, when we got married a long time ago, teenagers, both of us are, you know, pretty conservative by nature. But we made a decision then that, you know, money is a stewardship responsibility. It's God's, it's not ours. So we're going to save some. We're going to make sure we're preparing for the future. Even when we were in our early 20s, we realized someday we're going to be gray hair, or I'll be gray hair, and we'll be in our 60s, that we prepare for the future, that this is all God's, it's not ours. Money is not to be worshipped, it's to be used. I worry more about it than Donna does. I admit that. That's more of an issue with me. But if our intention is that we don't own it, that this is not, the goal of life is not to just spend money or consume it or to collect it. But and then that drives how we make decisions. Now, we're at a stage now with Don and I looking to the next stage of our life. Where does money fit into that? And how do you use that? And how do you prepare for the retirement years? And what does retirement fit in? Is it biblical or shouldn't we? Or what, you know, all those kinds of decisions. But if you have those intentions in place, if you know what your intention is, those decisions become easier in your life. I think a fourth one is, what's your intention about work? What's the purpose of work? What's the purpose of work and integrity in work? What's your purpose for being here? Here's what I've learned. I've seen people come and go from different, in our ministry and other places, and they leave, and not any big problem, just leave. And I'm thinking, you know, God's leading them somewhere else. God's doing something else in their life, and it's going to be over here. Here's what I think. I think if we got our intentions right about work, if we see what the Bible teaches, that we're not working unto man, we're working unto the Lord, that we're really serving Him, when you come to a place like this and we have the issues of conflict that happen with people or disagreements or just life that happens, if our intention is, hey, I know what my intention is about work, that's going to make it a lot easier every day in those relationships, doesn't it? When we have those primary decisions in place, so every day we're not being tossed and pulled back and forth with all these other kinds of decisions and conflicts and frustrations, because we know what our intention is about work. It makes a huge difference.
Thanks for listening to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy Carlson will be right back. Today's teaching is just a portion of a multi-part lesson to help you be intentional for your life. To see how you can receive a complete copy of today's teaching on CD, go to theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever tried to lose weight, quit drinking, save money? You start strong and then it doesn't work. How do you really get a life change to stick?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
Every good plan for change has some system accountability. You can even be accountable to yourself in a journal. Just make sure you commit to write and follow your plan for 30 days. Here's the game changer. Start every journal with an entry for something you're grateful for. It can be, thank you that I got a walk in the sun today, or thank you, I made a healthy breakfast for the family this morning. The higher the gratitude, the greater the optimism, and the more you're going to walk towards some real freedom at finally last. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
See my 5-year-old sleeping there? Isn't he adorable? Well, he's been really busy today. First, he gave the dog a haircut, then he spilled a carton of chocolate milk on the newly cleaned carpet, and then he created clouds on the bathroom wall with petroleum jelly and all of my cotton balls. Every day, my 5-year-old has a plan for his life. Wish I had a plan for my life.
Move beyond where you are today to God's hope for the year ahead. The Intentional Living 2017 Weekly Planner will help you make a plan, tracking goals and results. And it's yours with our thanks for your gift today at theintentionallife.com from Intentional Living Center.
This month only, with your gift to the ministry, you'll receive our exclusive 2017 Weekly Planner called My Plan for Hope. In it, you'll find a double-page monthly calendar for each month, followed by 2 pages for notes for each week, a place to list your goals for each month, and devotionals for each month. So get your exclusive 2017 Weekly Planner with your gift to Intentional Living today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours 1-888-1717 and press number 4. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues his teaching from Making Better Decisions.
And then I think a fifth one is, what's the intention about health? What's the purpose of our body? What's our intention? I know I don't think about that very often, but God has an intention. Very clear, the scripture teaches, you know, this is a shell that we have, but we're to take care of it to honor Christ. But I think if we make decisions, intentional decisions, in those 5 areas of our lives, I think we're going to be a lot better off. Because here's what happens. Most people are unclear about their primary intentional decisions. Most people. And so when they're faced with a decision that says, should I ask my daughter to leave home because she's being irresponsible? Or should we move away from the family? Or should I divorce? Or should I get married? Or should I buy a new car? Any other decision you make, if you have some of those decisions already in place, those guardrails, it's a starting point. Now, this doesn't make the decision by itself. You still have to go through the process of the pros and cons and the options, and you still have to go through all of that. But the outcome is, I've started knowing that what my decision is going to be is within my guardrails. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'm wondering, how many of you in your life have made a decision that you later regret? I mean, truly regret. And you know it was a decision that you made, it was a dumb decision. It was your decision, it was the wrong decision, and it was based not on guardrails and intentional kinds of primary decisions, but it was just you wanted it, a decision you made. The good news is God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of grace. You know, the scripture teaches if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. We can get back on track, and we can continue to live our lives by making better decisions. Yes, there may be scars. Yes, there's going to be consequences. That's part of life. That's just the way it is. My encouragement to each of us here is today that wherever you are with this thing of making decisions, if you're being faced with a decision right now, you've got to make those primary decisions first. Get those settled. Because then when you make the multitude of other decisions you have to make in life, they're kind of halfway there. You're around a second base on this decision-making process. Lord, thank you for reminding us today that you are a God of love. You've given us an opportunity to make choices. We know that they're probably much more limited than we sometimes think. Because we know ultimately you guide the steps of each of us as we submit to you. But Lord, just allow us to understand a little more fully your presence in our life, to experience your presence in our life. And in the process, may that help drive us in making decisions that will honor you, knowing that we can't be responsible for the outcome of all of our decisions, but we certainly can be responsible for the decision itself. Lord, thank you for this team, for the decisions that have been made over 50 years of ministry that have led us to this point. Thank you for your grace and the decisions that were off course, taking us in a wrong direction. Thank you for the opportunity to continue to get back on track every day, anew and fresh, because we know your mercies are new every morning. And I pray now that you'll move with us as we go through this day and make lots of decisions, that there'll be decisions based on these primary intentions in our life that'll be consistent with your intentional love for us. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, that wraps up this series, Making Better Decisions. A reminder, members, the entire 5 days on CD is coming your way. And I thank you for your ongoing support and allowing us to do this. We have some questions on decision-making coming up here in just a moment. If you have a question for me, I'd love to hear what it is. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And you can leave your question there or your story by pressing number 2. And many of you have been calling too and pressing number 4, which takes you to our team, and you can join in support of the ministry there. Or by going to theintentionallife.com. And again, a reminder, we have a limited supply of a very special planner that we've created for 2017, My Plan for Hope. It's a planner designed for everyone, but the cover is a feminine design for ladies. It's for women. It'll help be a great planner, to practical planner in goal setting and the 5 areas, essential areas of life and so on for you, along with the ongoing monthly support team members as a part of the Intentional Living family. We're sending out the Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection as a new member kit. So check it out. All right. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on number 4. Okay, I'll be back in a minute. We're going to go to the mailbag and hear some questions on decision making. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Christina from West Virginia. My story is my husband and I, neither one were saved when we first got together. We've come through a lot of trials and a lot of different things. Maybe some that a lot of people haven't went through, a lot I'm sure they have. The first time I heard the Intentional Living program, I was thinking of the verse that says, choose this day whom you will serve. And I changed it to choose this day whom we will love. And I choose every morning to love and to honor my husband. He's my best friend. He's my everything next to Christ.
Hi, my name is Catherine, and I'm trying to make my way to walk with the Lord. And I just start off sometimes in trying to surrender my life to Him. And I start off and I just, you know, I can't really finish, and I'm back again in the same spot that I started with in the first place. It's very frustrating because it's really hard to find God's voice. I'm just so tired. I'm about to lose my apartment if I don't try to do better. And, you know, I'm doing better in some areas. I'm not doing drugs anymore, and that's a good thing. But every time I try, I fail, and I have to start over again. And I don't know. I don't understand what God wants from me. I don't understand. I know that I could have a future with. I can't seem to get started. But I really believe in the Lord. I really believe that He answers prayer. And sometimes I just don't ask Him for answers because that might be Satan. I don't know. I just could use some help. And thank you. Bye.
Mm. Oh, Catherine, listen. By the way, Catherine left that on our comment line, or I'd be talking to her personally. She just called in and left that. You speak for a lot of people at different degrees of procrastination and for different reasons, Catherine. But it still comes back to good intentions. And when I teach about good intentions, a person with a good intention is a person who wants to do the next right one thing. And that's your heart. You want to do the right thing. You want to start something and complete it. You want to move from point A to point B. And you said you were in some areas. So celebrate the things that you are doing, that God's strengthening you to do. Don't focus exclusively on the things that you're not doing. I think that's one thing. But a good intention is not only having the right kind of goals, but then it's developing the daily habits that make a difference. So let me be very practical with you. Catherine, two things I heard in your voice. One is you need someone to put their arm around you and love you and also hold you accountable. You need to have that accountability support structure in place. Find it at your church. Find it in a small group with other women. Find it with a counselor, but find somebody who's fast enough, sharp enough, ahead of you enough to say, hey, I'm going to work with you and mentor you and try to help you stay accountable. Secondly, in the process of picking the next right one thing, here's the question. What one thing should you do every day that would make the biggest difference in your life and in accomplishing the things that God has for you? That's why we bring things back to this intentional living, the next right one thing. And a lot of people will be praying for you, Catherine. God bless you. Appreciate your call. I think we have time, Stephen, for Candace, who has a question for me.
Hi, this is Amber. My question is, what do you do when you are charged as a Christian to pursue peace and meekness, and you have someone in your life who is not a Christian and who is doing everything that they can to pursue discontent or strife? I'm divorced, a single mom with two sons, and the person that I am personally speaking about is my son's father, who has a new wife and a new baby that's coming, and they have decided, once again, this is the second time that we've done this, but they want to pursue custody of my sons, and I'm not letting them. We went through this about 2 years ago, and it's really hard for me because I don't know how to walk in peacefulness and meekness, but still set boundaries, you know, and not allow certain things to happen. And so I don't really know how to handle all of this, and it just came up today. So that was my question, comment, concern, and if you want to put it on the air, that's certainly fine too. So thank you so much, and have a great night. Bye.
You know, Candace, thank you for taking time and confidence enough to call and share that question with me. You know, as Christians, we got a kind of a tough walk sometimes because the Bible is clear. Just looking in my concordance, I mean, there is a ton of verses on peace, live in peace, have a spirit of peace. You know, peace is an important part of our journey in Christ. But at the same time, we got a lot of problems. We got people, we got challenges. And I would just challenge you about two things. One is forgiveness, to the extent that you can, to forgive, because God commands us to do it. It's a really big deal. We see that in the Lord's Prayer after he said, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And he goes on to say, this is a really big deal. And to the extent that you do this is really indication of your faith. So forgiveness is a part of it, Candace. But then there's also a passage that says, to the degree that you are possible, live at peace with all people. And the scripture gives that sort of indication to the extent that you can, to the extent it's possible. In other words, you can't make peace simply on one side. We see in the world, you can have one person that wants to have peace and the other person doesn't. Well, you can only do what's possible. And by the way, it's Romans 12:18, where it's very clear, to the degree that it's possible, live at peace with all people, including that ex-spouse. So two things, again, I would really encourage you. One is make sure to whatever it is that needs to be forgiven, that you forgive, and make that a daily, asking God to forgive you and your attitude, your heart, whatever it may be. And then secondly, live at peace. In other words, don't pick a fight. Put some boundaries in place. Nothing wrong with that with an ex-spouse. I tell people, if you don't have a good relationship with an ex-spouse,
You may have to limit your discussions to those things which you have to talk about, maybe the kids or money or things like that, and then not be tripped up because there are landmines everywhere with these kind of relationships that you can step on and set you off and your peace is gone. By the way, if you have a question on any topic you hear me talking about decision-making during these last several days, but maybe it's on some area of your life, you have a question you'd like to share, let me know. Just go to theintentionallife.com. Call 888-1717.
When it comes to making decisions, I've learned to ask for help from family, trusted friends, coworkers, but most of all, strangers. And the Lord places them right where I need them. Might be at the gas station or at Ace Hardware or at Home Depot. Every day I hear, "Ask, Linda, and it shall be given to you." Or, "Linda, I know the plans I have for you."
Thank you for sharing that. You know, every day, that's what intentional living is, walking every day intentionally in faith. Hey, listen, we got an interesting program coming up Friday. Of course, that's the day President-elect Trump will be put into office officially. And we had such a great outpouring several weeks ago on this question of if you were to select a scripture that you'd like to see the president read every day, to put it on his desk in the Oval Office, what would it be? We'd like to continue that. And if you want to share it on our comment line or get ready to call on Friday and share it with us, that would be great. 888-1717, press number 2 for our comment line, or be ready to call on Friday, okay, on Inauguration Day. Today, as we're wrapping this up, I just want to say thank you to all of the friends of the Intentional Living Center, and friends of mine and friends that we've met over the years, those of you who have been to conferences and been impacted in some way by this passionate, life-changing message of intentional living. Your ongoing prayers, your concern for the world and your care for people and your practical financial support make a big difference. And I want to thank you for it. And as we wrap up the program today, I want to remind you that we have a limited supply of this brand new My Plan for Hope 2017 weekly planner as a way of saying thanks for your support. That's going into the box for those joining as monthly members. It's our new member kit. The Power of One Thing is one book, along with Star for Affection and this entire teaching on decision making. Our gift to you when you call or go online today. Just call 888-1717, press number 4, or you can go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And we'll see you tomorrow with more Intentional Living.